Hallelujah. And if you have, I'm not sure if anybody brings Bibles anymore, but we're going to go to the Bible. I know you brought your phone. You said, well, my Bible is my phone. I get it. Do y'all still have paper Bibles? I'm just wondering. Okay, there's some paper Bibles. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Just before I preach too, I'm going to also send out a shout to our good friend, our brother, Percy, our usher. His birthday is this weekend. I want to make sure I get it right. So will y'all do me a favor, put your hands together for Percy. And that lovely lady next to him is his wife. So anybody else have a birthday in the month of December? Oh, Sherry got a birthday in December. Marlon. All of you, I thank God for all the ones that have birthdays. Yes, I know I won't get it all right. Hallelujah. Well, in the book of Romans, 15th chapter and the 13th verse, and hallelujah. I love this passage because we've been talking about hope. Been talking about believing God, trusting God, and not just simply from our head, but from our heart, we're actually believing him. And these individuals, this is Paul writing to the church at Rome, and they needed hope at this particular time. And you know, we've been sharing about, last Sunday we shared about the importance of hope, Jesus being our hope. And this passage just blessed me, so I want you to read it with me if you will. Y'all ready? And this is Paul praying for the Roman church. Y'all kind of quiet. I said, are y'all ready to read it with me? Yeah. All right. That's better. Okay, let's read it together. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will... I want to just take for a subject today, and you know how people say, well, don't get your hopes up. I want to take for a subject, get your hopes up. So look at a neighbor before we pray. And no, get your hopes up. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your love and for your kindness and for all that you've done for us and all that you're doing right now. We bless you. We honor you. And As been said earlier today, that someone came with a need and believing and trusting you, just like the woman at the well, just like the woman that had the issue of blood. And she just said, if I could just touch, I believe I'd be made well. And I thank you, God, today there's an anointing being placed upon you, God. So we look to you, we trust you, and we thank you that it's done by faith in Jesus' name. And we say amen. Come on, give him a real good praise. He's a good God. Hallelujah. You may take your seats in the presence of the Lord. You may. Man, am I glad to see you all today. I've been praying for you this week. And I want you to know, too, that we continue to pray for you. And when we have specific instructions as to your prayer needs, we will pray specifically for those prayer needs. Thank God for all the ones that show up on Wednesday and all during the week, and the ones that came early today just to pray and set the atmosphere for you. Put your hands together for all those individuals that pray, because the effective, fervent prayers of the righteous availeth much, no doubt about it. I've really had this heart for those individuals that aren't believers yet. Those ones that I believe will be coming to him. And we, the church, the solid earth, we are called to minister to them. And I want us to be in confidence and boldness that we will walk in that very thing that God has called us to be and to do. I just believe it's important. You know, he said that, and I love that passage that he gives us. He says, it's not a just a suggestion, but it's a command. Go into all the world. Did you all read that too? Did you all make it personal? Yeah, that's what he wants us to do. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to those that need to hear it. So I praise God. So this morning, again, we love you. We thank God for you. Thank you for worshiping with us today, those that are online. And to let you know, if you're ever in the Central Illinois area, we'd love for you to be a part of one of our weekend services. We have the Friday evening service. It's with our overcomers, and it's a powerful time. We have our 8 o'clock service, our 11, and then our 11:45. You're invited to be a part of any of those services. And if you're a guest here for your first time, we would love to meet. Even if it's your second time, you can meet with us in the family room. We would love to get acquainted with you and show you what Abundant Faith is doing and how you can help us make a difference and reach the world through faith, hope, and love. Today, as we said, we're talking about get your hopes up. When you see people that have their hopes up, they walk differently. They talk differently. Something about them that you can see, something is happening on the inside of them, no doubt about it. And I am one of the ones, I like being around people that have great hope. I like being around people that have what the scripture says is confident hope. We talked about last week what hope was not and what hope was. We talked about the fact that it's not the Disney clip your heels together or the Dorothy. It's not crossing your fingers. Jesus, are you trying to tell me something? What, sweetie? Jesus, or hope. Oh, I see. So, man, oh, man, it's something to have your wife on the front row. Hallelujah. So it is not Jesus or hope, so y'all can change that. Yeah. So I understand what you're saying. Yeah, so thank you. Jesus should be our hope. Jesus, our hope. So maybe that can change that. Thank you, honey, for making faces on the front row. I appreciate that. So I can't see behind me. Yeah, thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you for my good thing. So as I was thinking, there was a young man that had recently gotten saved, a new believer. And I like it when new believers are overflowing with confident hope. That was me a long time ago, that one that, man, when you just get saved and you begin to read the Bible, well, this individual was reading the Bible and he found more than 7,000 promises and he was full of hope for a better life. Because once you read what God's word says, man, something begins to happen on the inside of you. And as he was reading, he began to just, man, he said that the Bible says that Jesus came that I might have life and that I might have it to the full. And since Jesus says it, I believe it. And then he goes on and says that the Bible says that above all things, he would that we prosper and be of health just as our soul prospers. He got to start feeling good about himself. He said, the Bible said that no good thing would he hold from them that would walk upright. He said, the Bible says that we can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. The Bible says, faith, have faith in God. And this was Jesus written in red. Have faith in God, for whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe the things that he said shall come to pass. Therefore, whatsoever things you pray, say, pray. Whatsoever things you say when you pray, man, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Man, he began to just feel good about himself. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. There's another passage that says, if we delight ourselves in the Lord, he'll give us the desires of our heart. And then one settled church member went to him and said, hold on, brother. Hold on, wait just a minute. I know you're just getting, you new to this. And he says, I know what it says, but don't get your hopes up. I too have heard these warnings from others. Don't get your hopes up. And have any of you all heard that stuff? Don't get your hope up. But my question to them is, why not? Why not get our hopes up? You know, and then some would say, well, I don't want you to get hurt and I don't want you to be disappointed. So you want us to walk around hopeless? In a recent report, says that some 51% of young Americans feel down, depressed, and sometimes hopeless. But I encourage you today to get your hopes up. Get your hopes up when it comes to healing. Get your hopes up when it comes to your finances. Get your hopes up to being debt free. Get your hopes up. Get your hopes up when it comes to your marriage. Get your hopes up when it comes to your business. Get your hopes up when it comes to walking in authority and power. Are you with me? Get witness to an everyday. Get your hopes up. Thank you, Jesus. This passage says that, this was Paul sharing, he said, I pray that God, the source of hope, and I like what the King James says, it says, I pray that God, our hope, he calls him the God of hope, I like that. Both are saying the same thing, one, God, the source of our hope, and God, our hope. And I thought to myself, well, then if God is our hope, then we are the hope kids. Amen. If he's our father, then that makes us the kids of hope. That we're not the kids of doubt, fear, unbelief. I'm telling you, we are called to walk in hope because he's the source of hope. And may not we just have it, but he wants us to be filled completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Why am I filled with joy and peace? Because my trust is in God. My trust, my hope is in him. And then I love this next passage. It says, then you will overflow with confident hope. Confident hope. Say it with me, confident hope. So there must be more than one type of hope. It's the hope I get dinner, hope we get. Oh, no, I'm not. Don't y'all start, because I know y'all, we're not starting from last week. Hallelujah. It's a new day. Hope I win the lottery and all that. That's a whole different hope, totally different, not based upon anything, unfounded, wishful thinking. I'm hoping. So they said, hope with me, cross your fingers, you know, put your tooth under the pillow, all that stuff. No, I'm talking about that. I got a rabbit's foot, got my rabbit. I'm not talking about that. It's not founded on anything. That's a bunch of superstition. Oh, y'all don't like me today, but that's okay. We ain't talking about that kind of hope. We're not talking about that hope. You know, we're not talking about the kind of hope that you were talking about. Your team is going to win. We're not talking about that kind of hope. I'm talking about the kind of hope that sees the invisible, that feels the intangible, the kind of hope that achieves the impossible. I'm talking about the biblical hope that this is based upon what God's word says, not just based upon how I feel. No, I'm talking about this is what God's word says. That settles it. And I walk in faith. I don't care what it looks like. Somebody bless the Lord in the house. So say this with me. The God of hope wants you to get your hopes up. Now, how many of you all really believe that? Thank you, Jesus. Man, oh man. I needed to hear this message today because over and over again, you know, you start off a particular way and, you know, challenges come your way. And sometimes the hope that you had as a child or as a younger person begins to wane or diminish just because the fact that you've seen things happen in your life that didn't add up to your ability to figure it out or sort it out. Are you with me today? And therefore, just because things happen a certain way, it doesn't mean that God's word is not to be hoped for or believed in. It just simply means you can't explain it. There are a lot of things in this world that I can't explain, but I know God's word is true. Man, oh man. I'm just saying again, I know God's word is true, even though I can't explain it. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So therefore, I thank God for people that continue to hope. My parents, I praise God for them. You know, I talk about them frequently, but they are people that I can talk about because they lived on a plantation, you know, a long time ago, sharecropped, and several states, one Mississippi and some other areas down there in the Jim Crow South. But they had the hope in the midst of being on the plantation and not a whole lot of education. My grandmother was the actual, she was the principal of the school, but she was also the teacher, also the janitor, also the kids' parents. But they had hope, and part of the hope that they had is for a better life for my children. And I remember that they left the Jim Crow South and moved up north. They were either because they just heard about, you know, Chicago, and so they were going to go to Chicago or New York or St. Louis. And they ended up in the metropolitan area of Springfield, Illinois. But I often think to myself, what may have happened if they had stayed on the plantation? Saying things like, things will never change, will always be broke, because oftentimes when they, at the end of the year, when they would settle up, they'd say, Jerry, you know, man, you did well this year, but you just didn't quite make it out of the hole. My dad heard that a number of times, and finally he like the Beverly Hillbillies, he said, hey, it's time to load up and move to Beverly. Beverly Springfield, that is. But there are many people that says things will never change for us. They say that we'll always be broke. We'll never get a break. I'll never get that job. I'm suffering like Job. And I hear this over and over again. But see, can I share this with you folks? And some of you all don't read the Bible enough to understand that Job only suffered for about 9 months. But he lived 140 years. Y'all. So where you are right now is not where you gotta stay. It might be a 9 month period, but this is not where I'm gonna end up. God's got a whole lot better for me, more for me. He's got me made a way that he's going to double what I have right now. Y'all don't understand. I've got hope in the midst of my challenges, in the midst of my troubles. So if you suffering like Job, reign like Job. Come on out on the other side like Job. Get twice as much as you had in the beginning. Y'all don't hear me today. Somebody give him a praise. Whew. Just want you to know that hope knows no color. You know, so, well, it's not good for this group or that group. I don't care who you are, what you're going through, what you've been through. I read in the scripture, which absolutely blessed me, it says, in Christ there's neither no more Jew, no Gentile, no more slave, nor free, but we're all one in Christ Jesus. We are of Abraham's seed. Somebody give God praise. Stop all the excuses. If God be for you, help me out. Give him a shout in this house. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. So let me just share this with you. Yeah, get your hopes up. Hallelujah. There's a passage that I read, and I love reading it, and I want to make sure I make this clear, that the writer wrote to us in Corinthians, and it was Paul again. He says, I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren. This is 2 Corinthians 1, 8 through 10, they'll probably have it on the screen. He says, I don't want you to be ignorant. In other words, I want you to know these things, that of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure. So challenge happens, even when you save, sanctified, and filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and speak in tongues, the Spirit gives utterance. I'm just saying, challenge still happens. He says, we were burdened above measure. It says that, I like this, above strength, so that we were despair of life. In other words, man, we didn't even know if we were going to live. Man, oh man. Ninth verse says, yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. In other words, things are so challenging right now with us preaching the gospel. We don't know whether we're going to live or die, and things are hard right now. But my trust, my hope is still in God. I don't even know if I'm going to live or die. I can't even wrap my mind around it. I can't fix it if I tried to. And I'm not sure if you've ever been in a situation where you say, I don't know if I'm going to come out of this or not. All I know, I don't have enough strength. I don't have enough connections, enough money. All I know is I'm casting my cares upon you, God, because you care for me. That's what he's saying. He's saying, yeah, we got a death sentence, and I don't know. I can't trust in myself. And too long, we've trusted in ourselves. We've trusted in our ability, our wisdom, our knowledge, what we have in the bank. But there's a place that goes beyond that. Can I get a witness in this house? He says, we can't even trust in ourselves any longer. But we got to trust in God who raises the dead. This passage in the 10th verse, he says, who delivers us from such a great death, and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us. I love Romans 8:35. It says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulations or distress? And I'm saying this because oftentimes we think hope means that we've got to have everything going our way. Sometimes it won't go your way. That doesn't mean that you stop hoping. Thank you, Jesus. And sometimes we mess up because we think because things aren't going away for a certain group of people or a certain person that they've done something wrong. Not always. Not always. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall distress, shall tribulation, shall distress, shall persecution, famine, nakedness, peril of sword? Is written, for your sake, we are killed all day long. People don't like preaching this. These are the individuals that were giving their heart to God, that had committed their lives, regardless of what it looks like, regardless of what it seems like, regardless of how much I get or how little I get. My trust is in God. If they take my life, I still love God. We're counted as sheep before the slaughter. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. He says, for I'm persuaded that neither death nor life. Man, how many of you all love God's word? No angels, nor principalities or powers, things of the present or things to come, nor height nor depth, nor anything created shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Can I share this, that hope is the power to trust God in every situation, knowing that his plan is to prosper you and to give you a hope and a future. I mean, hope is the power to trust in God in every situation, not just when things are good, because you need to trust him when things are good too. Are you with me today? You don't just wait till you just run out of food, money, and everything. So, okay, now it's time to trust God. You need to have hope when you've got a lot of food. You need to have hope when you've got money in the bank. You need to hope and trust God when you are already healthy. Can I get a witness in this house? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love that passage, though. It says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. And sometimes we need to go over that passage over and over again in our minds. Are you with me today? I had a person that I watched, and I'm careful how I give someone else's testimony, but Maria was a beautiful young girl. She was the youngest of five and grew up in a good, godly home, strong, believing parents, and that they went to church. She too was a believer and did well in school as a child and became a teenager. Somebody said became a teenager. Some of y'all know some, right? And became a teenager. And nothing wrong with becoming teenagers, but man, you want to spread your wings. She became curious. And let me just throw this out there while I'm here. Man, every teenager in the house, and I know I was going to say this, so it's not in my notes. You know, the enemy would love to try to, you know, just say, well, just try this a little bit. Amen. If you could just sample this marijuana or, and you'll say, well, it's legal, Pastor. I just, okay. Come on. Okay, all the smokers in the house. All the CBD, and I ain't mad at none of it. I'm not mad at none of it. But some people are going to get out there and try to go further. But all he wants you to do is if you get this sample, try this. It'll make, it's for the head. It's going to get you right. And a lot of stuff, it hasn't even gone through the testing period. And, you know, it hasn't even, I'm talking some of the stuff you buy off the streets. You don't know what it's laced with. So my thing is, you got to be careful about what, or some say, well, the enemy will say, well, just try a little bit of this. Try, just sample a little bit. You want to go out there and kick it. You know, all the folks having a ball in the streets, they go into the party. Go out there and kick it. Just try it one night. Try a little bit of that. Try that ecstasy. Try some pornography, just a little bit. Man, I was scared of that stuff. Why, have you ever had one of those things, those thoughts that what if I get out there and I get strung out? What if I get messed up and I can never get back and now I'm in a situation? And there are a lot of people that are in jail right now because they tried a little bit of something. They tried to this. Well, can I let you know that God doesn't want you? What the world is trying to show you is not better than what he has for you. Are you with me today? I don't care how good they make it look. It's not that good. And if you get out there, there's no guarantee you'll get back. People get humble when that metal door slams behind them. Clink. What happened to the party? Yeah, the roof. The roof is on fire. I know the Christian folks don't know that song. We don't need no, oh, let the, don't say it. Well, this young lady that had been in church got out there and started sampling the things of the world. And I'm telling you, don't do it. And she ended up getting into a situation. And once you get into it with some of the wrong crowds and you start, you know, going the wrong direction and get into relationships and begin to hang out with the bad crowd who were influencing her. She started lying to her parents and sneaking out at night and got into an unhealthy relationship, got pregnant. And the thing I like about God is he's always there for you. And she ended up having a relationship and a fire happened and one of her children was burned up in the fire, lost her life. And she was a target and said that she did it and ended up tried to take her life and jump off a bridge into some deep water, but God. As she was in the jail, God sent people to minister to her. That's why I love prison ministry right now. Thank God for you, those that are going to prison ministry. Don't give up. Don't stop. There's somebody's baby that's in jail right now that really is not a, what would you call it? They ain't even hard. They just got with the wrong people. But anyway, she was in there and She tried to take her life because she did not see any hope. And there may be someone in here today that you feel hopeless, but can I tell you, I don't care what the situation seems like, what it may feel like, there's always hope. As long as there's a thump, thump, thump in your chest, there's always hope. Don't give up. Don't take your life. God's got a plan for you. Somebody give him a real big praise in this house. Long story short, she was in there for some time, and God miraculously opened the door as she repented and sought the face of God. And now she's on the worship team, married to a godly man, sings on a regular basis, teaches the word of God, and giving tremendous praise, because God will take your hopeless situation and give you some hope. In a time of need, can I get a praise in this house? Can we give him that praise? I don't know what you're facing. I don't know your situation. But I can tell you this. This is our season for hope. And some say, Pastor, you're supposed to be preaching on Christmas stuff. I'm not sure who told you that. But God dealt with me about hope. And they said, well, you're preaching last week on Abraham and Sarai and how against all hope, they had hope. And even after she had never bore a child and she was barren, and he had born one, they collided or came together and began to talk about, well, let's use our maidservant, and had one by her. So he was able to produce, but now he was 100. And the thing about it is that God can use you regardless of your age. And now she's 90, he's nearly 100, and still waiting on the promise. And God says you still need to have hope in God. I don't care about the circumstances and situation. Can I let you know God had to deal with me about this week? Amen. But some of us right now are in the midst of a situation where we say, well, God, it hasn't happened yet. Well, yet is the operative word. That means there's still time. There's still an opportunity. God is still God. He knows how to turn situations around, even though I can imagine a 100-year-old man saying, God, well, I must have missed you. And some of us have the same prayer. I must have missed God. Have you ever thought that? And I'm just saying, I thought it because it didn't happen. So, God, I must have missed you on this one. How many of you know that prophecies were given some 700 years ago that haven't came to pass yet? It doesn't mean you miss God. Whew. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So help me out. Where was I saying? Oh, yeah. Thank you. Abraham, against all hope, believed in hope, that knowing that he who promised was faithful. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You say, well, I could see Abraham at 100 years old calling Sarah. Sarah, come in here. I said, what you want, old man? Look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. Can I let you know God knows how to turn situations around, even though it seems like time has passed? I don't know where you are right now. Don't know what you're waiting on. But don't give up hope. Don't give up hope. Don't give up hope. I said, Pastor, that has nothing to do with Christmas. Can I let you know that you know, preachers know how to bring some stuff into play. If Abraham and Sarah had not brought forth, if they hadn't brought forth Isaac couldn't have brought forth Jacob and Esau. And do you recognize that Jesus is from that lineage? He's the heir. that lineage. And some of us think that the Christmas message began with Mary and Joseph. No, 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 no. God had a plan way back from the beginning. Y'all don't understand. Seed of Abraham, son of David, stone hewed out of the mountain, the meek and humble lamb. There he comes, the one riding on the donkey, the very fold of an ass. How? Let me say it like this. Some of you all don't know that the hope and the faith that you have will impact generations to come. You can't. It's not just about you. You've got to get it right for those that are coming after you. Hallelujah. I don't stand here because Jerry Wayne did something. Somebody in Mississippi got up from Mississippi and said, I believe God can. Ow! I gotta move on. God wants to do something in you. And guess what? Your grandparents have been praying. Your dead great-great-grandparents have been praying for you. God's got a plan for your life. And he will turn your situation around. Somebody, y'all can stand. If we're going to stand, let's stand together. Let's bless him. Let's bless him real big. He is God. Ah, thank you, God. Woo! Thank you, Lord. What I didn't tell you all was the story of Maria. I'm good. That's my little sister. All of us have people in our family that's gone through things. But can I let you know God knows how to turn it around for your good? He says, I know the plans that I have for you to prosper you and give you a hope and a future. Yeah, I'm almost done. We got 3 minutes. Three preacher minutes, hallelujah. But let me give you my last statement. And it's simply this. It's that Jesus is our hope in hopeless times. He is. I don't care what you've been through, what you're going through. Jesus is that hope. You can't put your trust in the government. And some people, I get so tired of Christians believing more in a party, a political party, than they do in God. Can't put my trust in doctors. I love doctors. I thank God for them. But I can't put my trust in them. I can't put my trust in the banker. Can't put your trust in your political connections. You can't do it. The Bible says, cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. And believe me, folks, these are perilous times. And I'm going to get back to this, but Holy Spirit just dealt with me about the ones that are believing for things. And you say, well, I don't see it. Man, don't lose hope. People can live a while without water, a shorter while without food. But man, you take a person's hope, they will die. Visit a whole lot of people in the hospital and pray for them. One of my first things, do you want to live? That's why Jesus asked says, do you want to be made well? I see a church right now that's going to walk in tremendous hope and faith and confidence and boldness, not just, but confident hope, filling over, running over. Thank you, God. I feel the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. But then one of the writers says that if in this world only you have hope, you're of all men most miserable. In other words, it don't stop here. There's a scripture that says, it says that, and it says, when you see the signs of the sun and the moon, and the stars, the earth, distress of nations, and we see it right now, Europe and Middle East, all kind of, and in America as well. The perplexity is taking place there, and seas and waves are roaring. Men's hearts are failing from fear and expectation of those things which are to come. So you don't have to worry. You don't have to be shook up for the power of the heavens to be shaken. And I'm just saying, we're going to see things be shaken in this last hour. You will see the very things that you thought were solid will be shaken before your very face, because if it's not planted on the rock, which is Christ Jesus, it's going to come down. Everything else is sinking sand. He says, when you see this, then you see the Son of Man coming on a cloud with power, with great glory. He says, now when you see these things begin to happen, I want y'all to look up with me. He says, look up and lift up your head, because your redemption. Now, how many of you know he's coming back on a cloud? He's coming back from every one of you all. And are you ready to go with him? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo. I feel a hallelujah. Bless you, Jesus. I'm done. All right. Y'all said for real, Pastor? Yeah, I'm done. But I'm going to end with a story. There was a large Boeing 747 on the flight to L.A. and full of passengers, and the flight attendant announced that passengers would be aware because there was going to be a turbulent storm. And well, the plane ride became very, very rough and bumpy. And I'm not sure if you've ever been on a plane when it got rough. I mean, it's got the shaking and stuff like that. Man, people's eyes start getting big. They start grabbing, reaching people and stuff. Well, it got rough and people began to fear for their lives. And as they panicked, they looked around. They saw a little girl who was very calm with a smile on her face. And one of the passengers sitting next to her, you know, looked at the little girl and said, little girl, don't you understand that we're in great danger? And she looked back at him calmly and says, I don't have to worry because my father is flying the plane. And he knows I'm on board. How many of you all know that regardless how things get, how rocky they get, how high inflation is, it don't make no difference because my daddy is driving this thing and he knows that we're on board. Somebody give him a praise in this house. Hallelujah. We bless you, God. Heads are bowed right now and nudge one more person, says, get your hopes up. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your presence. I thank you for what you're doing in this house. I thank you, God, for healing and deliverance. Thank you, God, for... thank you for doing a new thing. I thank you for the hope that you've given us. And I thank you, God, that we have confident hope. Overflowing. May we walk in such amazing confidence that people will see there's something different about us. And when they ask us, what's the reason for your hope? May we open our mouths and declare that Jesus Christ is my hope. He saved me. He delivered me. He set me free. And oh, by the way, that's not all. One day he's coming back for me. The last we heard from him, he says, behold, I come quickly and my reward is with me. So I have an expected hope. Father, we pray right now for the masses. We pray for those that don't know you, those that will be coming into the church even during the Christmas time. We pray for those individuals that have never heard the gospel message. We lift up the ones that are in the streets right now, that are on drugs right now, and alcoholics. I thank you, God, for the ones that are down and out and the ones that are up and out. Do an amazing work in this ministry. Use them, draw them, God. When they come past, may they say, may see something taking place here, even a fire over this building, to say, what must I do to be saved? May we be like a magnet that causes them to say, what must I do to be saved? In the name of Jesus. Thank you, God. Father, may we not be complacent, because we believe that just like heaven is real, hell is real. And Father, may we be the church that you're calling us to be in this last hour, in the name of Jesus. Father, may we continue to have a heart for souls. May we never say people just don't want to be saved any longer, but may we say, Father, our hope is that our loved ones will be saved. People that we don't know will come and say, what must I do to be saved? Father, we bless you and we honor you. If you're in this place where you're not saved, but you're ready to give your heart to God, we want to stand in agreement with you. Some of our ministers and elders and pastors are standing as well. Why? Because sometimes you just need someone to stand with you to say, pray with me. I remember the doctor told me that, you know, you'll be on medicine for the rest of your life. You'll have to have a pacemaker. Can I tell you that I don't have a pacemaker. I don't have a new heart. I don't take any medicine and have not in the past 15 years. I had hope. He says, well, don't get your hopes up. I said, oh, I want to get my hopes up. Some of you all that are dealing with health issues right now, get your hopes up. Can I have some olive oil? Can I have some? I just want to pray with you. Hallelujah. Get your hopes up. Someone says that you'll always be in debt. Can I let you know, long time ago we got out of debt and we're not getting back in. The church is out of debt and we're not getting back in. What, God? Get your hopes up. Someone's in financial despair right now and you say, I don't see how I'm going to get out of it. But I know a God that knows how to turn situations around. And all you need is to get your hope up. If any of y'all want to join me in prayer, you can just meet us on the altar. We want to pray, and we're praying the prayer of faith. Faith works, prayer works. And guess what? God wants you to get your hopes up. Now, God, be with us. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for the Holy Spirit being in this place. I thank you, God, for families being saved. I thank you for you opening doors, making ways, God. And God, this is just the beginning of what you want to do. I thank you for salvation coming to abundant faith. What does that look like? I thank you for people coming from the north, the south, the east, and the west. Father, you showed us, and our hope is not based upon, our hope is based upon your word. You said in the last day, you will pour out your spirit upon all flesh. So I thank you, God, for all flesh coming to know you in the name of Jesus. Now, Father, as we leave this place to our missions field, as some come to the altar, may we put our hope and our trust, our faith in you. And we ask it in Jesus' name. And we say, amen.